I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
I'm Ken Nash.
We're building bridges, not walls.
Aaron Bushnell's immolated himself to raise consciousness for a free, free Palestine.
Now, a tribute to Aaron Bushnell, the 25-year-old member of the Armed Services, the Air Force, who lit himself on fire while shouting, "Free Palestine." We too scream for the world to hear and for Biden to act on a free, free Palestine. No more genocide in our name.
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Long live Gaza!
Long live Gaza!
Ramadan Kareem. I'm a Jerusalem-born, war dead. Members of my family burned. A lot of my friends in Gaza, they keep calling me. Some are dead, some transition. My family's in the West Bank. No, 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 lali. Allah mahayyi shawarak ya biladina al-mamura. Child of Gaza, I think of you day and night. I think of the brutality inflicted. I think the enemy is never relenting. I am the child of Jerusalem, reaching out to you. I was the child of Jericho when the enemy came walking to my sleepy town in 67. I am the child of Haifa, looking at the same sea you're being slaughtered at. I will return to Jericho, liberated, to sip mint tea, to smell the rain evaporating in hot summer nights, sleeping at my balcony. I don't know when you will return. Alive. Don't know how, don't know why I'm still alive. Not dead. Should have been dead many times over in the first intifada of 87. When my mother started wailing, when an M16 was pointed at my head, I survived at the checkpoints of the West Bank, stripped naked when I hit a poor soul in my basement of a job, about five soldiers insisting, looking for the man. Now, this exodus in Gaza, 30,000 dead in the aftermath, brings back memories of ugly past, watching children melting with white phosphorus, bombing civilians. 5 months now, a friend calling me from Rafah, asking me to pray for his entire family of 17. While talking to him, the bombs were dropping. Another friend calling from Gaza City, showing me his dead sons, telling me this is the worst it's ever been. His head bandaged. I cry every day nonstop. I light a candle. I am so beyond words. My nerves are shot. My wisdom is gone. I'm still alive, not the civilians in Gaza.
Free! Free Palestine!
Free! Free Palestine!
Long live Gaza!
Long live Gaza!
Thank you very much, Farid. Next up is Eugene Poirier. He is a journalist, a writer, an activist, a politician. He's been the vice presidential nominee of the Party of Socialism and Liberation.
It is crucially important that we memorialize Aaron Bushnell, who took the ultimate action to wake the world up, not just to the horrors of genocide, but to move them to action. Around the world, streets are already being named after Aaron Bushnell, including in Jericho, in the West Bank, where Palestinians are resisting occupation and ethnic cleansing. In a country where almost all of the politicians are so incredibly behind this genocide, we have to remind ourselves we are not the minority, we are the majority. 67% of people in this country want a permanent ceasefire.
Yes.
30,000 people, really over 30,000 people, because we have to remember there's thousands of people who are trapped under the rubble, have been killed.
Yeah.
Many, maybe over 70,000 more than that have been injured. And many of them injured for life. Lost arms, lost feet, legs, children. This is a moral stain on the history of humanity being carried out by the Israeli occupation forces. The U.S. government is just as complicit as Netanyahu. They're sending hundreds of millions of dollars in weapons. They say, well, we're sending aid, but they're sending more bombs than they're sending aid. It's all a smokescreen to make you think that somehow there's a difference between Biden and Netanyahu. There's no difference. Remember, they were hugging at the airport in Tel Aviv because they're one and the same. This is an American war just as much as it's an Israeli war. They don't want a ceasefire. They're for a genocide. They want to trick you so that you forget, so that in November, somehow you still go vote for Genocide Joe. But we say, hell no. We won't forget. And we won't give up. And are we tired?
No.
Will we stop?
No.
No, the movement is only continuing to grow in ways no one ever expected. The black church is standing up and saying, end all USA to Israel. No. The United Auto Workers is standing up and saying, ceasefire now. No. We're seeing in every corner of this country mass demonstrations. We heard Netanyahu, and he said, no matter what, there's going to be an invasion of Rafah. These people are bloodthirsty, murderous, genocidal criminals. We can't expect them to stop unless we make them stop by putting the pressure on with all of the people around the world who are continuing to escalate the resistance. The Palestinian people have not been crushed. In fact, the Senate even gave a report that said, for Congress, the report said that they cannot defeat the resistance of the Palestinian people. Even the CIA recognizes they can't defeat the resistance of the Palestinian people. But we'll have to continue to move forward, because the genocide is just a product of the brutal occupation. The land is stolen. In 1948, the Zionists owned 6% of the land. They waged a war. They killed 15,000 people. They expelled 750,000. They ended up with 78% of the land. That means they stole 72% of the land. They don't have any right for it. Palestinians must be given the right to return. The political prisoners in Palestine must be released because they are fighting for their own land. They are freedom fighters and they must be released. Palestine must be free. The apartheid must be ended. It can be done if we stand shoulder to shoulder with the unbreakable Palestinian resistance. And I can say I will. I think you will too. I'm honored to have been here with you. Thank you. Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Rachel Corrie also sacrificed her life for Palestinians many years ago. She was a young woman, just like Aaron Bushnell, who felt very strongly about the rights of the Palestinians. So Maha Alami is going to bring us something from Rachel Corrie's mother.
Tomorrow marks the 21st anniversary since the killing of Rachel Corrie. Rachel was crushed to death by Israeli soldiers operating a U.S.-funded caterpillar bulldozer as she stooped to defend a Palestinian's family home from demolition in Rafah. I want to echo Rachel's message to her mother, sent a month ahead of this tragedy. Rachel wrote, "This has to stop. I think it's a good idea for us all to drop everything and devote our lives to making this stop. I don't think it's an extremist thing to do anymore. I still really want to dance around and have boyfriends and make comics for my coworkers. But I also want this to stop. Disbelief and horror is what I feel. I'm disappointed that this is the base reality of our world, and we, in fact, participate in it. This is not at all what I asked for when I came into this world. This is not the world you and Dan wanted me to come into when you decided to have me. I did not mean that I was coming into a world where I could live a comfortable life and possibly, with no effort at all, exist in complete unawareness of my participation in genocide. Rachel's mother, Cindy, asked me to share that Aaron Bushnell could not look away and that Rachel could not look away. She asked me to thank all of you who refused to look away, as our own government makes every one of us complicit in this killing, destruction, and genocide in Gaza, in Palestine. Rachel was 23. How many young Americans need to sacrifice their lives before our government is shaken? Thank you.
We have now a spoken word artist coming to speak. Nasreen?
Dear Aaron, you don't know me, but I, among a million others, know of you. With only the sound of your final words, I feel like we could have shared a profound connection in another life or era, united in our struggle for humanity. An all-American kid chasing after the same dreams that brought my family to this country, making me a first-generation American. Despite being born on the same land, our paths diverged. You an all-American boy, and I a child of diaspora. Was your childhood as loving as mine, or was it obscured by a veil of lies? As a white American, did you ever question your freedom of speech? Were you ever made to feel like a second-class citizen? I was. Did you grow up believing in the greatness of this nation? I tried to, but my people still face hurdles and obstacles that someone like you may not have understood. Would our paths have crossed despite our differences? As a Palestinian-American Muslim, I'm uncertain if they ever could. But now, Aaron Bushnell, though you've departed, your essence remains etched within me. I didn't attend your funeral, but I mourned your death deeply. After enduring almost 5 months of witnessing the unfathomable atrocities inflicted upon children and innocent civilians, I believe that exhausted my capacity for tears. Initially joining the Air Force out of a love for your country, while becoming disillusioned by a government you believe had betrayed your trust and engaged in deceitful practices. Though I had almost grown accustomed to the relentless scroll of death, destruction, and violence, your sacrifice shattered the numbing haze enveloping me. An all-American white boy who had every opportunity with no personal gain was deeply affected by the genocide, so much so he was compelled to give the ultimate sacrifice for justice. I felt a deep pang in my heart. This is not normal. It's so horrendous that a white American male felt he had to set himself on fire in an attempt to raise the most alarming awareness. Did the burden of conscience weigh you down, being a witness to the bloodshed streaming across your screen? Did you, like me, question the morality of the deaths we occurred through the indiscriminate taking of innocent lives? Did your heart shatter like mine at the sight of orphans, maimed children, and the agonized wails of bereaved mothers day after day? How many more innocent lives must be sacrificed upon the altar of geopolitical expediency before justice prevails? How much longer must the soil of the beloved Palestinian land be soaked with the blood of its people? How many more souls like Aaron must be sacrificed to stifle the cries for freedom and dignity? How much more suffering will we bear to end this genocide? My heart aches for the loved ones you left behind. I wish you hadn't taken your martyrdom, your solidarity with people you never knew, to ignite consciousness in those who are still in denial. I wish you were here standing shoulder to shoulder with us in protest, or even better, reveling in a jubilant celebration of a liberated Palestine. I can almost envision you, the life of the party, basking in the euphoria of a newfound freedom. So Aaron, though you may never know me, I will carry your memory within me, as will millions of others. We shall not allow your sacrifice to be in vain. We shall stoke the flames of justice and freedom until they blaze brightly, illuminating the path to liberation for all. Until then, dear Aaron, your flame shall burn eternal in our hearts, guarding us ever onward towards a world where justice reigns supreme. For we saw past the flames in your selfless illuminating soul of humanity. Rest in peace, Aaron Bushnell. In 1965, Dr. Martin Luther King received a profound letter from a courageous monk from Vietnam known as Thai. Entitled In Search of the Enemy of Man, the letter aimed to educate King about an event 2 years prior. On June 11, 1963, a 63-year-old monk burned himself to death at a busy intersection in downtown Vietnam, symbolizing the repression of the U.S.-backed South Vietnamese regime against Buddhism. It has been pointed out that it can be seen as a political act aimed at calling attention for the injustices being perpetrated against innocent civilians by a puppet government of Euro-American imperialism. Thay described the act of the burning as follows. The press spoke then of suicide, but in essence, it is not. It's not even a protest. The monks said in the letters before they left, before burning themselves, aimed alarming a moving of the hearts of the oppressors and at calling the attention of the world to the suffering endured then by the Vietnamese. The Vietnamese monk, by burning himself, says with all his strength and determination that he can endure the greatest of sufferings to protect his people. To express will by burning oneself, therefore, it is not to commit an act of destruction, but to perform an act of construction. That is to suffer and to die for the sake of one's people. This is not suicide. Suicide is an act of self-destruction. The monk who burns himself has lost neither courage nor hope, nor does he desire non-existence. On the contrary, he's very courageous and hopeful and aspires something good in the future. He does not think that he's destroying himself. He believes in the good fruition of his act of self-sacrifice for the sake of others. The monks that burned themselves did not aim at the death of their oppressors, but only at a change in their policy. Their enemies are not men. They are intolerance, fanatical dictatorship, cupidity, hatred, and discrimination, which lie within the heart of man. With his burning, he raised awareness and catalyzed social and political change, prompting King to speak openly against the Vietnam War. Whether Aaron could have found inspiration in his act remains uncertain. Yet in the spirit of the message, let us aspire for a similar outcome, an end to oppression and a freedom of Palestine. May we strive for justice and peace, rejecting intolerance and hatred, and working towards a future where all people can live with dignity and equality. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Very important to understand what the act of Aaron Bushnell really was. Right now I'd like to bring up a filmmaker, a writer, spoken word artist, Hind Jubani.
So this is a bit different. It's not quite a speech, it's not quite a poem, but it's something about what we have all recently been experiencing in these terrible months. What is the disease of an empire who precision guides bombs to stop our heartbeats? My chest stutters at the magnitude of the military-industrial complex. They battle-tested AI-driven bombs indiscriminate on the petite halos of boys and girls named Rania and Mansour and Lubna and Osama and Hamid and Layla and Rana and Hiba and Ahmed and Jamil and Amar and. In the genocide, we watched our names terrify the unfree world. Tight-lipped diplomats bandy around the rearrangement of words for months, debated in great hallways of free speech bastions of moral certitude, places hollowed for the never again for anyone, and nothing but hot air comes out eventually of simp meetings of paper pushers cowing to the signature of orders and the raising of a singular veto. Here is Palestine poking holes in the United Nations balloon. Pop went the Geneva Convention. Pop went the Security Council and its filament thin condemnations. Poof went the Rome Statute. A court mockery is sketched of the councils of the great lands of this great globe in the double rhetoric of apathetic, ignorant parliaments where the breath of our millions of warriors gets decided upon, wiped out by weak spirits who know nothing of our might. That there would be crown sonnets on every cathedral for every unidentified pound of flesh in rigor mortis, in blue, in a mass finale. What falls from the scorched tongue of Gaza after all this? What falls? What tumbles at the feet of Gaza after all this? And among the wreckage, letters that we have been writing for a century of love. It is a strange but perfect time to constantly think of the many faces of love. As a Palestinian, this is the center of all truth. We are many, those of us determined to love dignity, to love it with tenderness, to love it with steel. As a Palestinian, this is the center of all truth that matters. We will construct playgrounds out of their defeat. There will be grandchildren to pick up the axe, and we will alchemy. We are so many, and we will triumph. Thank you.
I want to bring up Brittany DeBarros, who is an ex-captain who served in Afghanistan. She is an organizer with About Face, Veterans Against the War.
It took me several days to process Aaron Bushnell's profound action and sacrifice. As a former service member myself, alongside so many veterans who have dedicated our lives in reparations for the violence that we participated in, and deeply feel the call that led him to take that action that has moved people around the world. The reason that that action moved so many Americans to discussion, when we talk about dropping tens of thousands of bombs on Gaza, means that people are burning to death by the thousands. Stand that that means that every time a bomb drops, people's bodies are being obliterated into pieces. Most Americans don't understand that when we say that we are dropping a single bomb, that that means entire villages of infrastructure, entire cultures and families obliterated. And yet in Aaron's own words, the extremity of what he experienced and chose as his last act is nothing compared to what Palestinians have suffered, not just since October, but for decades. From the position that I speak, people who are going to be compelled by a moral argument, if they haven't been compelled by the immorality and injustice of what Palestinians have been experiencing, by the videos and photos that all of us have watched, sometimes the direct horrifying voicemails and text messages from loved ones, then they will not be moved. If morality will not move them, I beg them to be moved by strategy. How many times will we do the same thing with the same logic that tells us that somehow, illogically, we can bomb our way to peace? How many times will we be fooled by the idea that we can kill our way to safety? There is nothing irrational about what anyone is doing in the face of this conflict except for believing those lies. There is no military solution, because to drop bombs to destroy arts and culture and families and language and infrastructure is antithetical to the stability that is necessary in order to create the safety that all of us want. As a member of About Face, I am proud to be a part of a member-based organization of veterans across the country who are clear on this and learned this truth through violence in many cases. I'll never be able to make right the fact that as a young person, I believed, bought, and paid for politicians who told me that I was going to do justice with the barrel of a gun, who manipulated the innate desire for community and service that so many of us hold as human beings to serve their corrupt and evil purposes. I am not interested in continuing to demonstrate and in continuing to speak truth to power. I have seen the rotten core of corruption that exists in the deepest areas of our government. And I am interested in taking power, in building a society and a government that is actually accountable to its people. Yeah. It is not a left-wing position to be against the slaughter of tens of thousands of people.
Right.
To be against spending billions on death and destruction while our libraries and our schools and our neighborhoods' funds are cut, the kinds of things that actually make our communities safe.
Right. Thank you.
That is a human position of the majority of voters in this goddamn country. And do not let anyone ever goad you into allowing ourselves to play into the lie that this movement is marginal. We are millions
You have an opportunity to go on record making your opposition to the genocidal decisions of our president and making your voice heard. I urge you, check out leaveitblankny.com, sign the pledge for Palestine. Thank you.
Palestine. Our next speaker, someone who you may know through her father, Edward Said. She is also a writer. A real honor to be in your presence.
My name is Najla Said. And 21 years ago, Rachel Corrie, young woman from Washington State, was killed by a bulldozer in Rafah. It's fitting to be here today remembering Aaron Bushnell, another person who lost his life for the Palestinian people. When I was a little girl, my father taught me that solidarity was the greatest form of love. When I grew up, I started to understand, and since October, I have completely understood. My father died 6 months after Rachel Corrie died. 2 months after she died, he gave a talk in which he talked about her solidarity. I just want to read this to remind you how, because I grew up going to protests and nobody cared, and this is amazing. So this was written 20 years ago by my father. What Rachel Corrie's work in Gaza recognized was precisely the gravity and density of the living history of the Palestinian people, and not merely as a collection of deprived refugees. That is what she was in solidarity with. We need to remember that that kind of solidarity is no longer confined to a small number of intrepid souls, but is recognized the world over. In the past 6 months, I have lectured in 4 continents to many thousands of people. What brings them together is Palestine and the struggle of the Palestinian people, which is now a byword for emancipation and enlightenment heaped on them by their enemies. Whenever the facts are made known, there is immediate recognition and an expression of the most profound solidarity with the justice of the Palestinian cause and the valiant struggle by the Palestinian people on its behalf. The Palestinian struggle for justice is especially something with which one must express solidarity. Rather than endless criticism and exasperated, frustrating discouragement or crippling divisiveness, remember the solidarity here and everywhere, in Latin America, your Africa, Europe, Asia, and Australia. Remember also there is a cause to which many people have committed themselves because it is a just cause, a moral quest for equality and human rights. Solidarity.
Feel the passion. We're going to ask you now to please bring up the flowers and to come and get water and dates.
We're going to do the call to prayer. Allahu Akbar.
You've been listening to a tribute to Aaron Bushnell. I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
I'm Karen Nash.
And we are Building Bridges. Thank you for listening.